Thank you, choir, for that beautiful message. Thank you, Judy, for the offertory. And George, that was a wonderful song this morning. Thank you. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 13. And while you're doing that, I know that later on in the story of the Hebrews' Exodus, Moses raised a snake up in the wilderness for them to look at. Some of you probably have heard, and if you haven't, you will. Yes, I handled a snake this morning, right out here, crossing the road over where the children play. And no, I didn't kill it. It was a king snake. I took it back down and put it in the woods, in the kudzu. But that does not mean that handling snakes is going to become a normal practice around here. Were it poisonous, it would be sleeping with the fishes. But just wanted to go ahead and tell you, yes, we had a snake handling this morning, but it wasn't part of our worship. Exodus chapter 13, verses 3 through 16. Moses said to the people, "Remember this day on which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, because the Lord brought you out from there by strength of hand. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today, in the month of Abib, you are going out. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which He swore to your ancestors to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this observance in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a festival to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen in your possession, and no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory. You shall tell your child on that day, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' It shall serve for you as a sign on your hand and as a reminder on your forehead, so that the teaching of the Lord may be on your lips. For with a strong hand the Lord brought you out of Egypt. You shall keep this ordinance at its proper time from year to year. When the Lord has brought you into the land of the Canaanites, as He swore to you and your ancestors, and has given it to you, you shall be set apart to the Lord, all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your livestock that are males shall be the Lord's. But every first donkey you shall redeem with a sheep. If you do not redeem it, you must break its neck. Every firstborn male among your children you shall redeem. When in the future your child asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall answer, 'By strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from human firstborn to the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord every male that first opens the womb, but every firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall serve as a sign on your hand and as an emblem on your forehead that by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt.'" Every year, at about the same time, people all over the country gather in different places. They gather in order to remember a group who rallied and fought for independence and for freedom. They will celebrate in many different ways and tell all kinds of stories in order to remember the important events of the past, hoping to continue to spur fidelity in the cause of freedom for generations to come. That is the scene in synagogues everywhere in the spring at Passover, which this Feast of Unleavened Bread is. And similar gatherings will occur on July the 4th in this country, when Americans remember the fight for freedom and independence for this nation so many years ago. Remember is the first word that Moses uses in addressing the people here in this passage. And we too are called to remember. Remembrance is so important that it is said that those who do not remember history are destined to repeat it. While we often think of that statement in the negative, in fact, That sign was hanging up in Jonestown, Guyana, with Jim Jones and the magic Kool-Aid. Adolf Hitler and others. It is also true that if we forget the positives, we might not repeat them, and so it is all the more important for us to remember the positive things and use them in guiding our lives. In those pivotal days when God delivered the Hebrews from the bondages of Egypt, establishing times and rites of remembrance were essential in order to keep the people faithful to the principles by which God had called them, and the principles that God expected them to continue to live. And so we come today to be reminded of God's command, remember. Remember. As the chapter opens, the first couple of verses before what we read, in those verses God tells Moses to dedicate or devote the firstborn to God. This was a way of keeping fresh the memory of God's redemption, of God's deliverance of His people. As Moses repeats God's requirements for Passover and the dedication of the firstborn, the primary word, as we've already mentioned, is to remember. This celebration, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or Passover, was to be an annual one to remind them that they were slaves to the whims of others and in some instances to their own desires. And yet they were rescued from this place. And not this place that is just Egypt. But God rescued them from this place that was a prison of their own devices. Now, initially, the Feast of Unleavened Bread celebrated the barley harvest. The barley crop was the food of the poor, not the wealthy. And they were indeed poor. And as it is associated with God's deliverance, it reminds the people of the need to follow God's leading if true freedom is ever to be found anywhere. In the Talmud, there's a story that says, when Rabbi Alexander had finished his prayers, he said, "Lord of the universe, it is clear to you that it is our will to do your will. But what hinders that we do not your will? The leaven which is in the dough." The tendency not to follow God's desires for us seems to grow just like a little bit of yeast in the dough causes the bread to rise. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread not only reminded the children of Israel of the heavy burdens from which God freed them and the haste with which they had to leave in the middle of the night, but it also reminded them of the importance of remembering even the small things so that the negatives could be done away with and the positive things could multiply. Jesus also spoke of the positive influences that a little leaven can have for following God and doing good. Later, as the people were going through the wilderness, they wished they had stayed behind. If you remember the stories, in a couple of opportunities that they had when they were running low on water or running low on food, they said to Moses, "We would have been better off dying in Egypt than out here in the wilderness." In other words, they were still prisoners. Prisoners not of the Egyptians, but of their own shortcomings and their own desires. The emancipation that they were to recall and retell was something, though, that was brought about by the strength of God, not their own, and was only brought about as they followed God's leading, not their own strength. That leading was seen in the faithfulness of Moses and others who stood with him, believing God's promises and reminding the people regularly, remember, remember that you are only free when God makes you free. As the people leave slavery behind and embark on a tenuous path, because freedom is a tenuous path, the fathers are to tell their sons regularly of that promised freedom and that God kept the promise. As we read in the text, he said, "This is the land to which you are going that the Lord promised your ancestors." It is a foundational element in their lives, remembering that God made a promise and God carried through on that promise. In fact, in verse 9, and again in verse 16 of the text, they are told that these events are to be signs and memorials to freedom through God, on your hands and on your foreheads. The Exodus is more than a mere annual feast. The lessons of it are to be held eternally before all the Israelites as a sign. Most of us have seen pictures of little small boxes on the foreheads of Jewish men, or perhaps the little boxes on the backs of their hands or their arms with leather strap wrapped around the arm. These are known as tefillin, which comes from a Hebrew word that means prayer. Four sections from the Torah are placed, rolled up little scrolls placed in those boxes that are placed on the forehead or on the backs of the hands. And those are the signs and the reminders of God's law and God's freedom. In fact, those scriptures speak of the kingdom of heaven, the unity of God, and the deliverance of God in the Exodus. As some Jewish writings state, within these tefillin are placed four sections of the law that declare the absolute unity of God and that remind us of the miracles and wonders when He brought us forth in freedom from Egypt. He has commanded us to lay the tefillin on the hand as a memorial of His outstretched arm, and opposite the heart to indicate the duty of subjecting the longings and the desires of our hearts to His service. And upon the head over against the brain, thereby teaching that the mind, whose seat is in the brain, together with all the senses and faculties, is to be subject to God's service. Blessed be He. At Sabbaths or festivals, men are exempt from wearing them because of Sabbath. The festival celebrating freedom is itself a sign and a wonder. But the requirement remains. Remember and tell the story of freedom. Now we come today when many in our nation, in fact most in our nation, have thoughts of freedom, looking forward to 4th of July celebrations, and rightly so. Many of us are thinking of the freedom for which men fought and died in the late 1700s and continue to fight and die. We are reminded of such foundational documents as the Declaration of Independence, later followed by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which begin with statements about guarantees, inalienable rights, and in the Bill of Rights, the guarantee of religious freedom, which we will talk about some more this evening. we sang a while ago about in our hymn, America the Beautiful, about pilgrim's feet. And we think about religious freedom. And though we'll talk a little more about our religious freedom and the role that Baptists played in that this evening, 10 of the original 13 colonies had state churches and laws and taxes to support those state churches. And there were fines, floggings, and imprisonment prescribed for anyone who was not part of the state church and dared to speak out and preach. That battle began before they arrived on this shore. It continued for a long time thereafter, and it still continues as we seek freedom and to keep that freedom alive. And ever before us, they are extremely important for us to remember, to share with each successive generation. But as important as those things are for us, we who are Americans, as important as those documents are for our country and for us to remember and to share, the stories of God's deliverance. God's deliverance for freedom. Not only the Israelites, but later for all who come to God in Jesus the Christ, are even more important for us to remember and to share. For you see, it is God who has made us free. Free in Christ Jesus, through whom truly free living comes. Living free from being bondsmen to sinfulness and selfishness. Free to risk living for God. Free to stand up and keep that freedom alive by sharing it and sharing it regularly. Free to risk so that others might be free indeed. And if as God's people we remember and we humble ourselves before God, we will always be free in Christ Jesus. May we pray. Our gracious God, help us to remember. To remember not only those who have followed your leading in becoming free and in helping to free others, but help us to always remember that true freedom is something that is very costly. Costly to us, but costly to you, because we are free because you gave your Son for our freedom. May we always remember and tell the story as signs and memorials written on our hearts, written in our heads, lived in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 131, Breathe on Me. It is only by being God-breathed that we are truly free, free to love and free to live as God's Spirit directs our living. Our altar is open for any who would make a public profession of faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. for any who would join with us and our fellowship here as a place from which to minister and in which to worship. Or for any who feel called to recommit themselves to that freedom in Christ which God gives. As God's Spirit leads, breathe on me, hymn number 131.